I have a plan.
I just saved Quill.
I will tase you and watch Super Nanny while you drool into the carpet.
No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos.
Meanwhile, back at the above-ground, underwater, suborbital volcano lair.
I have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
And it's another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio in the Weeby Geeks Network. You can also, if you can't find WeebyGeeks.net or Sorcerer Radio, you can also find the podcast every Monday on Bleeding Cool.
That's Bleeding Cool, dude.
It's awesome. So, as always, it is Mike and Eric bringing you all things Marvel, be it games, comics, TV, film, whatever it is. We're
Netflix.
Here for you. Netflix. Yeah, I guess we have to add that now. TV, yeah. Film, and internet. Internet streaming.
Whether you watch it, read it, or listen to it, or play it, if it's Marvel, you might find it here.
There's a strong chance you're going to find it here.
There's a better than average chance.
So, a lot of news this week, and we're just going to hit it off with the purveyor of Marvel himself, James Gunn. Of course, we all know James Gunn from, of course, I have no bites, no sound bites from this. I should be shot. But we had it in the intro.
Oh, you mean James a little Gunn. Movie that he directed called Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
Okay.
In a roundabout way, yes. Oscars were this past weekend, or a week ago, from when this is airing. And, there was a lot of slamming of superhero movies or the genre of comic book movies altogether. And it's like...
Well, all right, here's what you have to remember about the Academy. The Academy is a closed circle of left-wing elitists who like to bask in the radiance of their self-imposed brilliance and pat each other on the back for being the true epitome of what movie making should be. Anything that falls outside of that little closed circle, especially if it appeals to the unwashed masses, that gets poo-pooed.
So, in other words, you're saying...
Hail Hydra! Hail Hydra!
Pretty much. So, it's like Hydra with, you know, black tie and cummerbunds.
I thought for a second there you were going to say Cumberbatch, but...
No, we'll get to him later.
So everyone's bashing, Jack Black's bashing, which, whether that was him actually doing that off the cuff or scripted, if it was scripted, it's definitely, he was just doing his job and doing what the writers gave him, which is I'm leaning more towards.
You know, Jack Black really has no room to bash anybody on a less than highbrow movie career.
Yeah.
Two words, Nacho Libre.
Okay? I thought you were going to go King Kong.
Well, actually, I thought that was just a little bit more highbrow than, you know, a priest becoming a Mexican wrestler.
Well, that is true, too. But, you know, the whole thing is, you know, and then there was all this gripe about American Sniper getting snubbed, and it made more money than Birdman. Well, okay, I present to you Guardians. I present to you Captain America. I present to you the core, yet once again, Big Hero 6. Now, if you want to go money and talk about what films made the most money and make the top 10, your top 10 picks for Picture of the Year, I don't think American Sniper's on that list. But then again, Birdman wouldn't have been on that list either.
To be honest with you, I had not even heard of Birdman before the Oscars. And to be more accurately, I have never heard of Birdman up until the day after the Oscars, because hearing it at the Oscars would imply that I actually wasted time watching the Oscars, which I didn't.
Now, I have
better ways to waste my time than watching the Oscars.
I had heard of Birdman prior to. I do remember when it came out in the theaters. Did not get the opportunity to see it then. But was I a little excited that a superhero-ish genre film won? Yes, it says a lot. Am I upset that American Sniper didn't win. I mean, it's a tragic story of an American soldier who was doing his job. Probably one of the top snipers we've had in a while. I won't go as far as saying the best like everyone else, because I believe there is one other. Don't know his name. It's not important. But, you know, for them to bring up money issues, Guardians. Sorry, yeah. Guardians should have been in that list somewhere.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, there were other comic book, cartoon-based movies that could have been on that list as well. But as I say over on We Be Geeks, and as we talked about this week as well, it's a geek revolution. Hollywood better get ready. The other films have their place, but the geek culture genre film is slowly taking over the markets.
Well, the Academy has never really cared a whole lot about, you know, what is popular. Outside of, like, technical awards like, ooh, this movie won Best Special Effects, you know, or set design or whatever.
Right.
They don't care. They're more about, oh, well, this person did an artistic expression, therefore we will pat ourselves on the back by giving this person an award.
Right.
You know, the only problem is, if you're a studio executive, yes, you will occasionally put these films out there, but you know where the bills get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to want, you can't keep the bills paid with artsy films.
Grand Budapest Hotel is not going to pay the bills for that long.
No.
So, well, Gunn, you know, like I said, you know, everyone was bashing the genre. Gunn comes out on Facebook. Whatever the case, the truth is popular fare in any medium has always been snubbed by the self-appointed elite.
The Academy.
I've already won more awards than I've ever expected for Guardians. What bothers me slightly is that many people assume that because you make big films, that you put less love, care, and thought into them, and then people who do make independent films or who make what are considered more serious Hollywood films. I've made B movies, independent films, children's movies, horror films, in gigantic spectacles, and I find that there are plenty of people everywhere making movies for a buck or two to feed their own vanity. And then there are people who do what they do because they love storytelling, they love cinema, and they want to add back to the world some of the magic that they've taken from the works of others. In all honesty, I do not find a striking different percentage of those with integrity and those without working within any of these fields of film. If you think people who make superhero movies are dumb, come out and say we're dumb. But if you're an independent filmmaker or a serious filmmaker that you put more love into your characters than the Russo brothers do Captain America, or Joss Whedon does the Hulk, or than I do a talking raccoon, you're simply mistaken.
And there it is. That he nails it on the head. These are people who, let's just go ahead and call it what it is. These are people who take themselves far too seriously.
Right. Well, and my concern is, if they're complaining now about superhero movies, did they not see the list of everything from Fox, Warner Brothers, Marvel, Sony?
You know what's going to happen between now
and 2020?
You know what's going to happen? You're going to see the list of movies that are nominated for Academy Awards, you're going to see that pool shrink. Because outside of the technical awards, like your costuming, like your set design, like your visual effects, the Academy and those who think like the Academy are not going to accept the geek revolution for what it is.
Right.
And, you know, this sounds like I'm just being overly cynical. Maybe I am. But nothing the Academy has done in the entire span that we've had the Oscars going really indicates otherwise.
Exactly.
And here's also something that you're going to see. You're going to see ratings plummet even further. I think there was, I think last year's was what, 10 to 15% off the previous year?
Yeah.
When Ellen was hosting. This year, it was either the same or bigger fall off from last year with Neil, you can have whoever you want as the quote-unquote host, but people are going to, outside of the Academy and outside of hardcore movie buffs, you're going to see fewer and fewer people tune in for what is essentially, multiple hours of self-congratulation, patting yourself on the back, and making political statements.
It's going to get to the point the Oscars are going to disappear, and it's going to be the Golden Globes that matter, which is pretty much almost what it is now.
I mean, it's all over but the shouting, if you ask me. People don't care about Oscars as much anymore.
Well, Best Picture, it used to be a nomination of 5 or 6. Now it's 10. It's 10 pictures selected. It's like, really? Is it necessary anymore? Obviously it is, so they could...
I have an issue with all these award shows, because you don't need a multi-hour show, in my opinion. You don't need a multi-hour show to award all this stuff. You can do just a simple website thing. Excuse me, I have the Jetsons texting me, ad nauseum over here. You don't need a multi-hour TV show to give these awards out. You want to have a banquet? Fine. You want to have, like, an awards presentation? Fine. Make it an on-demand webcast.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyhow.
Getting back to Cumberbatch, though.
Yeah. Speaking of the Academy Awards, Benedict Cumberbatch was there, and let's see, who was it? There was this person, MTV, was trying for a quick interview, and first of all, where did these questions like this come from? But I'm glad somebody thought of this one. The reporter asked whether Doctor Strange will be American or British in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and he has a wonderful non-answer. Somebody asks him this question, and all he does is look at the camera and wiggle his eyebrows and walks off. That is probably the best answer I've seen from a celebrity in quite a while.
Yeah.
And really, now in the comics, he's from Philadelphia, but, there's no reason, because if you read the comics, if you see the cartoons, he's got that refinement that can very easily make him British.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And I don't think making the cinematic Doctor Strange British would take away from it.
Well, and just to say he's from Philadelphia doesn't mean he's not British.
Well,
I mean, whether he moved here for med school and stayed, or his parents moved over here when he was young and he still has the accent, there's it's America. It's a melting pot.
Yeah.
Justification is not necessary.
No, it doesn't make any difference. It's not his nationality is not it's not essential to the story.
Right.
It's like, now if Steve Rogers was British, there would be an issue.
Yeah, just sort of.
Yeah, Brian Braddock, Captain Britain. Yeah, he kind of has to be British.
Well, he can't be German.
Well, he can't be Southern either.
True.
So there you have it.
So. No, I'm going to let you take this next story as well, because you were so excited about it.
I was.
When you texted me.
I was squealing like a 12-year-old at a Justin Bieber concert. I'm telling you. All right.
Oh, you had to go there.
I did have to go there, because I was literally squealing. I went squeal when I saw this. Okay. Marvel Studios head Kevin Feige was being interviewed by Superhero Hype, and he was asked to hypothesize about what he would do with various Disney properties if they gave him control over anything he wanted. Now, this I should point out that this story comes to us from CraveOnline.com. So I want to give credit where credit is due. Now, Feige's response is, quote, "I don't need to hypothesize about what I would do with various Disney properties if they gave me control over anything I wanted. It's happening. It's coming in 2017, and it rhymes with Schmargoyles." Now, this, of course, would be reference the Gargoyles animated series that Disney put out. Ran for 78 episodes from 1994 to 1997. And the storyline, if you're not familiar with this, it's a clan of gargoyles from roughly the 10th century AD in Scotland.
Yep.
They turned to stone by day, and they protected this castle at night. And they fell under a curse, and they were frozen in stone for over 1,000 years, only to revive. The whole gist of this curse was you would sleep in stone until this castle rose above the clouds. Okay. Well, along comes this multi-billionaire named David Xanatos, who has a skyscraper built in Manhattan, and he says, you know what? This medieval castle, I want it on top of my skyscraper. Well, when that happened, there were low-lying clouds that would come and, you know, would pass. It would be above the level of the clouds. So, boom, curse is lifted. So you have a bunch of gargoyles from, you know, the time frame of 1,000 years ago now stuck in downtown Manhattan. Hijinks ensue.
Yep.
Now, Feige went on to say that he says, quote, I've always wondered why the hell, and that's a direct quote, why the hell Disney never decided to turn Gargoyles into a blockbuster movie event. But when I expressed an interest, they literally begged me to take it off their hands, along with Quack Pack and the Mighty Ducks. And he adds, that's the sci-fi animated version of the Mighty Ducks, not the good one. That's as he put it. He says,
I don't remember Quack Pack.
Quack Pack, it was Donald and Daisy and the three nephews. Daisy, I think, was a TV reporter. Donald was the cameraman, and the nephews were like teenagers.
Okay, I totally missed that one.
Yeah, what little I saw, you didn't miss much. But he did say, man, the things we could do in Marvel with that Emilio Estevez movie, The Mighty Ducks. He says, but if Gargoyles goes over well, maybe they'll let us take a crack at it. He does go on to say, although Marvel Studios will be producing the Gargoyles movie, we are not seriously considering connecting the franchise with the Marvel Cinematic Universe yet.
Ooh.
He says, yet. He did put in the yet. He said, but the good news is that we have tons of actors under multiple film contracts, and we could literally throw them into any movie if we wanted to. He said Robert Downey Jr. would make a great Xanatos, and we may force him to play Brooklyn as well, because why not? People love that dude.
Interesting.
For my money, though, you don't get Robert Downey Jr. to play Xanatos. You get Jonathan Frakes, who played Riker in Star Trek The Next Generation and who voiced the character in the show.
Yeah.
For my money, that's what you do.
Right.
But I remember when this show came out in the 90s and loved it. It was one of the few Disney cartoon shows that actually had a cult following that tried to get it renewed past the three seasons.
Right. I remember that. I think I partook in that.
Well, see, there you go. But yeah. Now we are getting the live-action movie, and, of course, I would love to see a Disney Infinity version of Goliath, but that's just me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, moving on with movie news, Anthony Mackie, Hayley Atwell, Idris Elba, all confirmed for Avengers Age of Ultron. And I know Mackie was confirmed due to the movie poster.
Yes, and we know who else is confirmed due to the movie poster.
Well, actually, all three of them.
Well, besides them, you also have Don Cheadle as James Rhodes, and Kobe Smothers as Maria Hill.
Yeah.
And Stellan Skarsgård as Dr. Eric Selvig. That man's turned a minor character into a career. Just like he's the next Coulson.
Yeah, yeah. So I found it interesting that, you know, it's the poster that leaks them coming out. And, of course, I just lost the next two. My touchpad is that sensitive.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you've not, while Mike is looking up and reclaiming his lost stories, if you didn't know already, Marvel released on their Twitter feed the new Avengers Age of Ultron poster. And it's pretty freaking sweet is what it is. I mean, it's got the main characters. You've got, you know, your Cap, your Iron Man, your Hulk, your Thor, Hawkeye, Black Widow. But, you know, kind of in the background, you also have, like, Scarlet Witch, and you have, who is this? That's Nick Fury down there. You've got Vision, and you've got, like, a horde of Ultrons.
Right.
But, of course, being true comic geeks, you don't pay attention to who's listed, you know, who all's shown on the poster. You pick it apart.
Right.
You go down to the cast listing.
Right.
And that's where you find out stuff like this.
Oh, yeah. Well, this might be a little bit of a...
warning. Spoiler alert.
But Josh Whedon teases that the end of Avengers Age of Ultron is going to be pretty over the top. Sort of like that Schwarzenegger, or not Schwarzenegger, Stallone movie over the... Okay, never mind.
Dude, that was a reach. That was a reach, especially because it was a crappy movie.
I blame...
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra!
Apparently, they scripted this show like they scripted the Oscars.
I don't think even Hydra would claim that one.
Whedon tells Yahoo that despite his best efforts, the film just keeps getting bigger. Oh, bigger. Have mercy. With the Marvel Studios film jumping genres, Captain America the Winter Soldier being a spy thriller, and Ant-Man looking like a heist film, Whedon describes Avengers Age of Ultron as a sweeping adventure that encompasses several other genres. To me, adventure film is the best way to put it. In science fiction, action, western, war, woman's picture, horror movie, I'm not kidding. Every single one of those things is in there.
Did he say women's picture?
He says, obviously, Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, chick flick.
Okay.
Wait, chick flick, Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, women's picture.
I'm not going to go there. I'm sorry.
Age of Ultron.
Maybe I did.
Age of Ultron opens May 1st. That's like 3 months away.
And according to Whedon, you get like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 movies in one.
Yeah.
And when Whedon says it's really big and it's completely unhinged, then you know it's really big and it's completely unhinged.
Right. So, now, what are some speculations with Avengers 2? Of course, now, there's speculations on what's going to happen with Spider-Man and Avengers 3.
Yeah.
I think I'll let you start with this one.
Okay. Really, we don't know anything other than what has been announced. Like, you know, of course, we have mentioned this before, I think last week, on the show, where, you know, Sony Pictures Entertainment and Marvel Studios has reached a deal.
Actually, it was 2 weeks ago when we had Nelson Faro de Castro.
Yes, you're right. You're right. See, that's why you're around, to keep me straight. We had it when we were discussing it. Let's see. Of course, you know, Bob Iger had to chime in and say he was, you know, he was excited, and Kevin Feige, he was excited. Doug Belgrad, who is the president of Sony Pictures Entertainment Motion Picture Group, says, quote, Sony Pictures and Marvel Studios share a love for the characters in the Spider-Man universe and have a long, successful history of working together. This new level of collaboration is the perfect way to take Peter Parker's story into the future, end quote. Now, that is a direct quote from Doug in the release that was posted to Marvel's website back on February 9th.
Okay, however, why are we having talks of Miles Morales?
You know why we're having talks of Miles Morales? Because over on Yahoo, there's a story running about well-established Hollywood news writer Jeff Snyder. He appeared in a February 20th episode of Meet the Proofy Press, and he came out and said there is a rumor. Well, he did not disclose his sources, but he claimed a high degree of certainty that, quote, Spider-Man's going to be most likely black. There's a chance he could also be Latino. I'm 95% sure not white. Now, for those of you not playing along in the comics, what he's most likely talking about is a character by the name of Miles Morales. He is a teenage Brooklynite who also gained Spider-Man powers from a spider bite. And he was introduced in 2011, and this was during a comic book miniseries called Ultimate Fallout. So in the Ultimate Universe, the Ultimate Marvel Universe, Peter Parker has died, and Miles has taken over the mantle of Spider-Man. So, there are fans out there, there's a percentage that say they want Miles Morales to be the next Spider-Man. Now, we have mentioned this on the show, you know, there's just some characters that you just don't mess with. Right. It's like, If I were to say Batman to you, who would you say?
Michael Keaton. Well, Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne, exactly. There you go.
Okay, sorry, I went the wrong direction.
Stay with the tour, Mike. All right, Superman.
No. Clark Kent.
Captain America.
Steve Rogers.
Iron Man.
Tony Stark.
Okay, now, there have been other people that have taken on the mantle from time to time in the comics.
Right.
Like, say, if I were to mention the names William Naslund, Jeff Mace, John Walker, and Jack Monroe, would you know who I was talking about? Who all four of these guys had in common?
No.
They once played the role of Captain America in the comics. They wore the suit. They wore the title. But the problem with bringing superheroes into the movie format, you can't just appeal to the hardcore comic book geek. You have to appeal to the casual fan as well.
Right.
And with most of these characters, it doesn't matter if there's a Miles Morales out there. You have to, people will not accept anybody other than Peter Parker.
Right.
Now, I think the main reason for what I'm hearing from the people who say they want Miles isn't so much that they love the character of Miles Morales, it's that they don't want to see another Peter Parker origin reboot.
Right.
So that, I think they're afraid that that's what's going to happen. I don't think that's going to, because first of all, Sony has the Spider-Man franchise is not the franchise it was. I looked at the numbers, you know, earlier this week, and the first one was the best performing one. The first one with Tobey Maguire. Okay, that was like 570 something million.
Wow.
Domestic. We're not counting in worldwide. The second one, the one with Dr. Octopus, just under 500.
Okay.
I think you would have to put the two amazing Spider-Man movies. You would have to combine them to reach what the second Spider-Man movie got. I mean, the Amazing Spider-Man 2 only 202 million domestic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I see where people are saying they don't want to see another Peter Parker reboot, but you can bring Spider-Man in without doing his origin story again.
Or you could take the Christopher Nolan approach and just do a brief recap, 5 minutes, boom, origin, let's move on.
But I believe you had a theory about this.
Well, I saw this on Facebook from freelance artist Tom Hodges. He brought up the suggestion, what if at the end of Avengers Age of Ultron, end credit scene, we see Peter Parker crushed under building fragments, dead.
So you bring him in like Howard the Duck, only to kill him.
Only to kill him. And then from there, Morales picks up the helm.
Now see, I'm kind of following you on the fact, because when we were talking about this whole deal, we both said it sounded like a one-shot deal.
Right.
And that would probably be in Captain America Civil War.
Right. I'm trying to see if I could find his actual post.
Because in Civil War, you know, Spider-Man does play a pretty strong role.
Right.
So that could very easily be, he comes in for that and he winds up getting killed. And that gives Sony a perfect excuse to bring in Miles at that point.
Right.
Because, yes, people are getting tired of Spider-Man from the box office returns. So this could be if you're Sony, this could be a good opportunity to make the franchise new again.
Right.
Without having to completely reboot everything again.
Right.
Well, I mean, still, he's got the basic point.
Right.
The whole purpose of him coming into a Marvel Studios movie is to die. Whether that death happens in Age of Ultron, Civil War, or Avengers 3, or, you know, Howard the Duck, whatever.
Right.
And that's something I don't think that we really considered until now.
True. So, well, on that note, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Mike and Eric here on Sorcerer Radio and the Weeby Geeks Network with Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Mr. Stark.
Yeah?
Agent Coulson.
Oh, yeah. The guy from the
Strategic Homeland Intervention and Force Mail Logistics Division.
God, you need a new name for that.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join We Be Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to We Be Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at WeBeGeeks.net. We Be Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and find new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at meetthemagic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That was scary.
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On the Geeky Fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you. Always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. SR Sounds.
Hi, I'm Tony.
And I'm Krista. Tune into our show, Stars and Motor Cars, Saturday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio.
Every week you'll hear us chat with Disney legends, Imagineers, and actors like Pat Carroll, the voice of Ursula.
And I help you?
Yes, I do.
Disney legend and Imagineer Bob Gurr.
Pedro Hare, the voice of Belle.
Feast! Disney Resort TV's Stacey J. Oswald.
And author Ridley Pearson.
And Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy.
Something wrong here.
And so many more. You'll also hear your favorite Disney Parks Parade music.
Follow us on Twitter at Disney Podcaster and on Facebook.com/Disney Parks Podcast.
To get even more Disney fun, download our sister show, the Disney Parks Podcast, on iTunes. Tune in to Stars and Motor Cars, presented by the Disney Parks Podcast. podcast Saturday afternoons at 6 p.m. Eastern,
3 p.m. Pacific, only on Sorcerer Radio.
SRSounds.com.
And welcome back, everybody, to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio and also on WeebieGeeks.net, iTunes, Bleeding Cool, and, you know, soon to come through the implanted cybernetic chip that you're all going to have to want to get from Apple when it comes out to replace the iPhone. It'll be called the iChip, and it's just like right behind the ear.
Unfortunately, we cannot ignore the inevitable.
That's right. We can't. But in the meantime, we can. Transition from the large screen of the movie theater to the smaller screen of the television, and we move on to the return of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which comes back to TV screens on March 3rd, yes. And I believe that we have an audio clip, if Jarvis would be so kind as to cue that up.
For you, sir, anything.
My whole life I wanted a family. S.H.I.E.L.D. took me in. They trained me to be an agent, but there was something inside of me, something I didn't even know was there, something possibly inhuman. And if it gets out, nothing will ever be the same.
Did I hear her correctly, and she actually used the word inhuman?
I think so. I think she actually used the inhuman.
Yes. She used the I word.
Yes. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now becoming the 5-year lead up to the Inhumans movie. This is going to be nuts.
This is going to be nuts because if you remember at the end of, towards the end of last season, people were talking about, will it actually be back for season number 2?
Right.
Which most of us pretty much knew. Yeah, ABC, Marvel, they're going to give it 2 seasons at least.
Well,
yeah,
they're going
to at least run it up to Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron.
But now, you start wondering, is it going to be for the full for 5 years? Or is it just out there to plant the seeds?
Well, that leads me to the next question. Does the Inhumans movie have its first cast member?
You know, I don't think it has its first cast member. I think it's got its first 2 cast members. Let's not forget Raina now.
This is true.
Because she was turning into something that is definitely not as cute as she was before in that little red flowery dress.
Yep. So this means then that they could potentially bring in the cast. Yeah, as they start casting people for the movie, which it's still a little too soon for, because they're talking, 2019 for that film?
Yeah.
But they could start bringing people in now just to help with exposure for the film.
But let's also keep in mind, the Inhumans, they're not bringing in the Inhuman element here just to set up the Inhumans movie. They're setting up for Age of Ultron,
yeah.
More than likely Civil War as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the Inhumans, because they can't use mutants, Inhumans are going to become the new mutants.
Yeah. Take that, Fox.
Yeah. It's like, we don't need the X-Men. We have our own brand of superhumans. And honestly, I think that's brilliant. So this is where it all starts. They're bringing in Inhumans to set all this other stuff in motion.
And what does the Fox say? We're going broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does the Fox say? Maybe we should have sold that back.
So, the clip was interesting when you see it, but the big thing, Inhuman. They kind of alluded to it some in the first half of the season, but I think it's funny dropping the word Inhuman, which all this happened after the Phase 3 announcement, because I want to say the Phase 3 announcement, they were still, had they gone to hiatus? I don't remember.
I don't either.
But I don't think so, because everyone started making the connections with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They were start. There was all the Quake talk when people said, oh, well, her real name's Daisy. This has got to be them.
Right. Especially they already brought up the. And then, a week or two later, was.
And her dad is Mr. Hyde.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, sticking with the small screen.
Yeah.
We know Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is coming soon. We talked about the casting last week. Of course, there's Ultimate Spider-Man, Hulk and the Agents of Smash, Avengers Assemble. Five more that Marvel cartoons that we might want to see.
You know, I don't think we can just say just five, period, because I think your list of five cartoons that you'd want to see might be different than the five I want to see.
Right.
I think the one you're talking about, the five you're talking about, would be the ones that comicbookresources.com came out with.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say that. Now, this list comes to us from Comic Book Resources.
Okay.
First one on the list is Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Me personally, I don't know if I could sit through a Doctor Strange cartoon.
Why not?
Weekly, it's just not my cup of tea.
Okay.
The movies, quite possibly, because I could watch the movie. I could do like Thor. I could watch the movie, say I watched it, and come back to it whenever I wanted.
Okay.
Doctor Strange, I feel like if it's in the way of something else I want to see, potentially on Disney XD, I have to watch it. If I'm caught. I know how obsessive I can get about it, and I'm going to want to watch it whether I like it or not. Mm-hmm. And that would kind of bug me a little bit. Their take on... So they're saying, obviously, all the heroes currently pegged as feature film leads to be under consideration for an animated series as well.
Makes sense.
So, the second one they mentioned, Captain America. I have the original Captain America cartoons.
Okay.
I liked them. Again, we're talking something from the 60s, late 60s. I mean, just to give you a brief idea, again, here, you know, this is the theme song. You know, 66, 67.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. And he's led to a fight and a duel.
So you get the idea of what the time period was like.
Yes.
So now you kind of know what how the show's going to be.
Honestly, just me. I've seen this article. I see their angle. They say this is something that you could, like, you know, go flashback between modern day and back in World War II.
Right.
That has potential, and if you're going to do that, then you really need theme music more like the Captain America theme from the first Avenger, and I know you've got it. Yeah, that's got a good, I don't want to say, it's almost got like a good period, old school feel to it.
Yeah.
And that is something that could apply either to today or back that time period. That's an interesting idea to where you could go back and forth in story arcs, especially if there's something that it has ties to the past and the modern day.
Right.
But I don't know. The only thing that I would say about Captain America is that are we getting to the point where we're seeing too much of him? Because he's already in Avengers Assemble.
Right.
He's already been in Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Right. Well, Earth's Mightiest Heroes was still kind of Avengers, though.
Yeah. But my question is giving him his own show, is that not going to overexpose him some?
No, because I think if you do it, set it back during wartime.
Yeah.
And then you could give me what I want.
I know what you want. You want him and Coulson sitting together trading stories.
No, well, with the animated, how about Captain America and the Howling Commandos?
Oh, heck yes.
So, how about some love there?
I could see that. That would be great.
And then it make it a period piece.
And that's part of the jumping back and forth between, like, the World War II era and the modern era.
Sort of, but I'd rather keep most of it in the World War II era, though.
The only problem with the World War II era,
but
it kind of limits you.
But you can bring in Peggy Carter.
Yes, you can bring in Peggy Carter. I'm not saying don't do it at all. I'm just saying mix and match.
Right. But you also had the Howling Commandos.
Yes.
So a World War II piece with Cap and the Howling Commandos, I think, is a winner. I really do. I don't see it being an issue, I think, with the kids. As long as they see action and hijinks or whatever, who cares what time period it's in? Leave it in World War II. Get the stories that we don't see.
I hear what you're saying. I think the only problem is any time that you do a story face, you know, based in a wartime era, whether it be like Vietnam War, Korean War, World War II, eventually you're going to run out of story material.
Right.
So if you're going to do it, do a story modern day, story World War II area. You alternate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to move on, Ms. Marvel. And of course, they're talking about the latest incarnation with Kamala Khan as Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
I could see that. But I could possibly be great for the girls.
Yeah.
Because another, just be great in general to help continue a diversity message.
I'm all about diversity so long as the character is real.
Right.
I mean, if it's...
But
you
know,
she's Pakistani, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, she's Pakistani, and she's also Muslim. You know, that's fine if that's, you know, it adds depth to the character, just so long as they're not going, oh, look at us, we're being diverse. We are producing
right.
this character. But she's Muslim. She's Pakistani. She's a girl. Look at us. We are putting this out here.
I would love to see how, with the animated series, how they could turn this into a, how do we put a girl who's already growing up in awkward situations, how does she handle those and her superhero life at the same time? And I think that's where it could be a great example to kids of going, keep priorities straight, keep everything else straight. This is the right way to go.
I could see that.
I'm sorry if I got all political. I didn't mean to.
No.
The next one, Inhumans.
Okay.
I think if you're going to do that, let it happen now, because we're already tying into it a little bit with S.H.I.E.L.D. And, of course, we got 2019 with the film. This would just help bring what they kind of did with all the various cameos with Guardians and the different cartoons.
Yeah.
It's just going to help elevate the status a little bit more.
Yeah, I could see that. And there are a lot of the different characters. There's enough variety in the characters, and they're interesting characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you've got a teleporting dog. You've got the lady with living hair. You know, it just, you have all these different characters. This would allow you to explore some of them do look quite inhuman, for lack of a better word. This is stuff you don't have to worry about special effects. You don't have to worry about makeup.
Right.
And so, you know that some of the more inhuman-looking Inhumans aren't going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anyway.
Right.
So, you know, like...
Lockjaw.
Lord, I can't like Lockjaw or Triton or Medusa with the hair. You go animation, you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
And you can let them be whoever they are.
Right. Well, the last one they bring up is Marvel Team Up, where it's, I guess, a hodgepodge of characters each week.
Yeah.
Teaming up. Sort of like, sort of like the comic, but cartoon-wise, I guess, best example was from Cartoon Network, Batman Brave and the Bold. I mean, I realize it's the other company.
Yeah.
But it's a similar thing. It was almost a team-up show.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And yes, you're right. But I remember reading these comics, you know, growing up. And you would, more often than not, it would be Spider-Man and somebody. So, you know, it could be like Spider-Man and Wolverine, or Spider-Man and Iron Fist, or Spider-Man and Nick Fury, or Spider-Man and Black Widow.
Thing in Deadpool.
Now there's an idea.
DNA Games, makers of quite a few Marvel games. I know they have Marvel War of Heroes.
Yeah.
I know they got a couple Star Wars games. They made an announcement with Marvel this week.
Yeah, and this is kind of like a team-up announcement of their own. Dina in Marvel Entertainment announced that Marvel Mighty Heroes will be launching soon for iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android phones and tablets. Now, what this is, Mighty Marvel Heroes, it looks like Superhero Squad almost, because they've kind of got those character look to them. It is a real-time co-op brawler starring superheroes and supervillains of the Marvel Universe. You will be able to play with up to four players. You go online with multiplayer. Strategic superhero action on a mobile device. The players can choose their favorite Marvel comic book heroes, and doesn't, you know, you have the most popular ones right now. Players will build a dream team of superheroes and villains, each utilizing different skills and special abilities to clobber, shoot, smash, and blast their way to victory. Multiplayer, like I said before, you'll give players a chance to test their skills against competitors, and you can also do co-op rather than just multiplayer. Good. So it's building off of Marvel War of Heroes, the first Dina game,
right? Which was back when they were known as Mobage.
Yeah. So that will come out later on this year. Coming soon, they said. If you want to pre-register to receive updates and notices about the limited time prizes, go to www.marvelmightyheroes.com. One of the things that you can do is vote to see who is going to be a free special hero at launch. You either vote on you vote for Hulk or Rocket. So whoever you would rather have.
Team Rocket.
Team Rocket indeed.
Well, we put comics near the end.
Yes.
One, it helps assure us that we cover comics. Two, what a great way to wrap up the week with our picks for the new comic book day, and we give you guys ideas. But since this is on a Disney internet radio station, the number one on Live 365.
Oh, yes. We are the juggernaut of the Disney Park stations in Live 365. Just to throw another Marvel reference there.
And Disney and Marvel have teamed up already with two other titles. Well, we bring to you Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And unfortunately, I don't have my train sound effect.
No, that's okay. Because you did have Jim Zub, who is the writer of the previous Disney Kingdom effort from Marvel and Disney. And that was one of my favorite interviews that you've done that I've really heard in a long time.
Thank you. Well, welcome. And up next, the third installment of Disney Kingdom's Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Hold on to your hat. This is coming directly from Marvel themselves. Hold on to your hats. Fasten your seatbelts. Keep your arms and legs inside the attraction at all time.
And hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Because the world-famous Disney attraction is roaring to life this March, just a few weeks away. Marvel and Disney Kingdoms are proud to present to you Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, the thundering new series from writer Dennis Hopeless and artist Ty Walker.
If I was Dennis Hopeless, I'm sorry, I'd have to adopt a different last name.
If I was Dennis Hopeless, I'd be saying, let's keep the tradition and come on to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Well, there you go.
It started with Jim. We'll have to go back and get the writer from Secrets of the Weird, but let's next step, Dennis Hopeless. Be There, the Wildest Ride in the Wilderness comes to life like never before as the thrilled-packed Disney attraction bursts off the page with action, romance, mystery, and adventure. Marvel hurdles you through the mists of time back to the Old West to reveal the never-before story of how the dangerous gold mine at Big Thunder Mountain Railroad became a haunted legend.
Haunted?
Malevolent. Malevolent, sorry.
You're thinking Maleficent.
I was. And malicious mind. And my mind was going to the next word, which was malicious. Mine owner Barnabas T. Bullion is determined. I mean, he must get a lot of soup.
Well, when you are a malevolent and malicious mine owner, you can have pretty much whatever you want.
I was just thinking the bullion.
Yeah.
Okay. Is determined to protect his daughter Abigail from the dangers of the Wild West. Yet this brave young heroine has other ideas, which include robbing her father's mine as a mass bandit. Interesting.
So Abigail is turning Robin Hood on us here.
Yep. Yep. The newest series under the Disney Kingdom's banner, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, continues the unique collaboration between Marvel Comics and Walt Disney Imagineering. bringing you new adventures inspired by the already beloved lands, attractions, characters, and world of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, issue number 1, and it's 1 of 5, releases March 18th, 2015.
It's the day before my birthday. That will make a great birthday present for me. Yeah. I will have to put that on my gift list.
So, again, written by Dennis Hopeless, penciled by Ty Walker, cover by Pascal Ferry, variant cover by Tom Rainey.
Okay.
Connecting variant A by Walt Disney Imagineer and Mighty Marvel Geeks guest, Brian Crosby.
Sweet!
So, and oh my lord, his cover looks amazing.
Yes, yes they do. Yes.
So on that note, we've already crossed that path. Jarvis, if you would, please.
You are not authorized to access this area.
You know what? You're not keeping it down.
Level 7 access.
What a week. It's there it level is. 7 time. It is time for a new comic book picks of the week from Mighty Marvel Geeks. This will be for March 4th, 2015. So, what do you have for your first pick for this week?
My first pick for the week is Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, number 10. Written by Care Andrews, penciled by Care Andrews, and cover artist Care Andrews. Says, the dawn of New Kunlun. The One's plans come to horrible fruition. Danny Rand may be back in fighting shape, but is this a fight he could ever win? This is the punch heard round the world.
Okay. I'm going to bring to you Angela's Asgard Assassin, number 4. We've been to Earth for street-level Marvel fun. We've been to the Nine Realms for fantasy Marvel fun. Next up, Deep Space for Deep Space Marvel fun. Can Kieran and Marguerite resist the chance to write the characters from last year's awesome summer blockbuster? Clue, it rhymes with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Of course not, you silly bears. So that's my number 1 pick.
Okay, my number 2 pick is Rocket Raccoon number 9, written by Scotty Young, penciled by Jacob Parker, and Scotty Young is the cover artist. In the not-so-distant future, what happens when you water Groot a little too much? Well, Grootzilla has arrived, and he ain't happy. He's faster than a speeding rocket, more powerful than Drax the Destroyer, and able to eat tall buildings in a single gulp.
Okay, sounds intriguing. How do you overwater Groot?
I don't know, but we're gonna find out.
Yeah, I thought he was rooted, but...
Not so much.
Neither are these jokes.
I think you need to branch out a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to take a twist until I get my other book back up. My second pick for this week, Princess Leia number 1. It's, a 5-issue story arc as well. When Princess Leia Organa was captured by the Empire as a rebel spy, she never betrayed her convictions, even in the face of the complete destruction of her home world, Alderaan. It's because she was looking for love in Alderaan places.
I knew you were going to go there.
It's all right. They Alderaan. Never mind. I should have stopped okay. When I was behind. For bad jokes, email mmg@weebegeeks.net.
If you have better bad jokes, please send them to us. We need them.
When her rescue came, she grabbed a blaster and joined the fight, escaping back to the Rebel Alliance to help strike the biggest blow against the Empire, the destruction of the Death Star, the Snow Moon. I'm telling you.
Yeah, she did a whole lot of good in that attack on the Death Star standing there in the control room.
True. But in the aftermath of that victory... The question remains, what is a princess without a world? Writer Mark Waid and artist Terry Dodson bring us the story of Leia's quest to help her people and find her place in the galaxy.
I'm going to have to subscribe to this one. I really am.
Star Wars books are...
Yeah.
They're all... I just told my shop, Star Wars, Marvel, pull.
There it is.
That's it.
I don't know if you know this or if you saw this or not. This is completely off tangent, but... saw somebody on Facebook that had gone into their Hobby Lobby store, and they had a bunch of the old Marvel Star Wars comic covers done up as metal signs.
Yeah, Hobby Lobby has some. Yeah. They also have a cool-looking box that's got three of the four issues of Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, nice.
And then an issue from something else that's not even related. It's okay. Like, really? You couldn't just go ahead and do all four issues of Empire?
I don't know.
And of course, my wife goes, well, it was up to the artist. Maybe he liked that cover better. I'm like, he should be shot.
There you go.
That's all I got to say.
It's like one guy has bad judgment. The rest of us have to live with it.
Yeah.
Back to my final pick of the week. And that would be Guardians Team Up number one. Launching directly out of Guardians of the Galaxy comes the new ongoing series bringing the Guardians to the Marvel Universe's grandest stage for an opening arc of out-of-this-world adventures with some of the biggest hitters Marvel has to offer. Kicking off with a cosmic threat so massive, it'll take more than just the Guardians of the Galaxy to stop it. Assembled side-by-side with the mighty Avengers, prepare for two titanic teams to unite like you've never seen before.
Wow, that sounds pretty cool.
That does sound pretty cool.
That sounds pretty cool. Well, my last pick for this week is a number one. That's two number ones this week for me.
Well, there you go.
All new Hawkeye, number one.
Nice.
Writer is Jeffrey Lemire. Penciler and cover artist Ramon Perez. The Avenging Archers are back. Hawkeye returns in an all new series featuring superstar writer Jeff Lemire in his Marvel debut, and Eisner Award-winning artist Ramon Perez, as they bring you a fresh new look into the life of everyone's favorite Avenger. With Kate Bishop, his trusted ward, and Proje back to his side, not titles she would use, Team Hawkeye is thrown into an all-new adventure spanning two generations of Avenging Archers. Past and present lives collide as Kate and Clint face a threat that will challenge everything they know about what it means to be Hawkeye. No one puts Hawkeye in the corner. Hawkeye and Hawkeye take aim March 2015. Of course, that takes aim March 4th, 2015.
There you go. I may have to get this one as well, because I have been following Ramon for a while. Now, he's the son of George Perez, who is most well known, I would guess, for, like, you know, the Teen Titans over at DC. And but I've been seeing his stuff for a while, and it's really good. So I think you'd be happy with this.
Yeah. I missed out on jumping on early with the original Hawkeye from Matt Fraction, but I'm catching up with it now over on Marvel Unlimited. But, you know, definitely this I might have to add to my subscription list as well. That's part of the reason why I picked it. So that's going to wrap up New Comic Book Week and Mighty Marvel Geeks for this week. Where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on the internet on Twitter at Uncle Servo, all one word.
And you can find me at Marvel Geeks on Twitter. Check out our Facebook page at Mighty Marvel Geeks. Links for this are in the show notes. Shoot us an email if you have any Marvel questions, or if you happen to come across any Marvel news at mmg@weebiegeeks.net. Other than that, if we don't have anything else, I think it's about that time. Jarvis, if you would.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
No. Just time to go dark.